Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. We are on the last chapter of this Captain America story arc, so without further ado, let's get right to it.
So, cut to issue 119, and it's interesting because the title of 119 is straight up, Now Falls the Skull.
Yep.
Spoiler alert right at the beginning there.
Well, and then even the cover itself, it's Captain America and the Falcon standing over the skull as he's crawling on the ground.
Right, the skull falls.
But so Cap, or Skull Cap, he's finally done. He finally realized that I should have taken care of this myself. I shouldn't have let all these other people try and take down my enemy. So he reverts back to his body. And now this is where the whole body switching thing is odd. Because they're not swapping bodies. Because what ends up happening is he reverts back to his body.
They're just straight up shape-shifting.
Yes. But throughout the issues, though, they kept on mentioning that it was swapping bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting when Skull brings Cap Skull and Falcon around, you essentially have two Red Skulls in the same place. Because Cap's in Red Skull's body. His body.
Mm-hmm.
Red Skull's body. His body. I don't know. It's confusing. Comics. But they get sucked by the cube, power of the cube. They both get sucked into this castle.
Sam Wilson the entire time being like, nah, man, it's a hallucination. We'll wake up any moment.
Yeah, he's like, I have no... This is... We're good. This is all fake. But he ends up... They go to this castle that the Red Skull is at. Captures the Red Wing, the Falcon. The Falcon's Falcon.
Through the power of the Cosmic Cube again.
Puts him in a cage. Because, you know, that's... easy to do. Falcon is like, well, that's my bird. Let go of my bird. As he gets closer to the Red Skull, Skull's like, he's egging him on, teasing him, and slams him into kind of like a wall. Like, it doesn't say anything. Show.
No, it's the art style of the time. But what's interesting just prior to that was, you know, Sam, of course, gets pissed off that Red Wing is in a cage. He's like, nah, he's got to be free. And the Red Skull makes a comment here. Freedom is only for the one who rules. All others must be slaves. Pretty pertinent comments towards an African-American.
Yeah.
But what the response is, you know, because we've got, especially in today's society, the big political commentary here, of course, is racial injustice.
Yes.
You know, which I'm not qualified to weigh in one way or another. I'm not even going to pretend to be. But I can speak to the response here. It seems either Stanley is being extremely politically correct, or this actually was the ideology of the time, and that Sam doesn't respond as like from an African American's point of view with regards to slavery.
Yeah.
But instead, straight out as an American American's response, because. And I quote, he says, "We fought a war to rid the earth of scum like you. I'd risk my life 1,000 times before I'd let you beat us."
I would say that's more more America's... Well, no.
Because my question is, would an African American... Because World War II.
Well, yes, but this is 69. This is also after, you know, Martin Luther King... I can speak words.
MLK.
Luther King. Malcolm X was... 80s, was he not?
Yeah, which almost makes me wonder whether or not that was just, like... Part of it was Stan Lee, because Stan Lee's mindset is still in the... This is a 40s response, and this is a villain from the 40s in World War II.
Yeah.
Who's very, you know, Himmler-esque and Hitler-esque.
Yeah.
But I found it interesting, you know. I think that it's a necessary conversation, but something that I do appreciate here is that it's not the racial tension that's brought up. It's not the racial... history of African Americans having been enslaved, and Red Skull isn't interested in making one particular race slaves, but literally
everybody. Anyone
who's weaker than him.
Yes,
you know what I mean. So I think that it was a wise writing move on Stanley's part, and actually makes for an understandable character that just the strong versus the weak.
Yes, which is great. We then get the Skull as previous. He wants to. Face off against Captain America in his true form, so he changes him back, changes Cap Skull back into Captain America.
And of course, Sam Wilson is caught off guard because this entire time he didn't know that this character was Captain America.
He was being trained by Captain America, the Captain America.
The Captain.
Yeah. So Cap's like, all right, we need to take care of the Red Skull. you know, let's attack him. And he goes to attack, and he's not there. He ends up hitting a rock.
Here we go. Illusion again, right?
Mm-hmm. He's playing with their minds. So much so that he sends this tidal wave that kind of starts to wash him away. And as that's happening, Falcon... What does it say?
Rushes towards it, well, thinking it's a hypnotism.
Yeah, he's like, this is nothing. I can't... This is not real. But they both get washed away. And as they're trying to get their bearings, Falcon tells Cap, like, here, there's something I have to do real quick. And you're like, well, what is that? What could he be doing? We then get a couple panels of AIM, or MODOK, back at AIM. And he's telling his minions to activate the... that one thing I said earlier.
The catalyte block?
Yeah, thank you.
That one thing, yeah.
I don't remember what it was. But then we get... This is what I was talking about earlier, how he fought Cap, and they thought he died, but he really didn't. He really was...
You know, he was saved or whatever, found and brought back and restored. You know, because you need a few panels of exposition as filler.
Yes.
You know, when you're running out of ideas.
But they start the catalyte block. I'm going to try to say that.
I'm going to have to look up what catalyte is later. Probably a made up word.
More likely. But he starts that up to try and diffuse the power of the cube from afar. While that's happening, Red Skull sweeps Falcon and Cap to this basically the middle of a desert, and they still are pressing their attack. They're still trying to take him out, even though they're literally in their reserve. They're so tired.
Yeah, they're on their last legs.
So much energy, but they're still able to keep Red Skull on his feet. Like he can't just roll over him like he was planning to.
Right. Falcon manages to distract him long enough for the Cap to actually throw his shield and knock the cube out of Skull's hands. Meanwhile, well, as we were talking about, they're in the background. AIM is activating their, you know, basically shutdown mechanism for the cube, which, you know, thank God at this point already that they've managed to get back into their rightful bodies, you know.
I mean, it's just, had they not, it would have been kind of, like you had said earlier, just, they could have figured it out at some other point. You know, Doctor Strange was around this time. He could have done his magic.
Right. What would have happened if, you know, the cosmic cube had been rendered inert while both of them were in the incorrect bodies? That would have allowed for an entirely different storyline.
Well, so. that'd be a storyline nowadays where it would be like a year-long thing, if not a year-and-a-half-long thing, versus, well, just three issues.
Right.
So, but what ends up happening is the Skull, after he had dropped the cube... Because Cap, like you said, Cap knocked it out of his hands, got back to it, but it starts to change in his hands, like it's melting away. There's enough power left to get him away from Cap and Falcon, and he does that. And then the cube goes in there. It's done. It's gone. And we leave both Cap and Falcon... in the desert, walking away into the sunset.
Right. So how are they going to go ahead and get out of the desert? One's left to wonder, because that's the end of that issue. It's the introduction of the Falcon, you know. And
they find a way, apparently.
Well, because apparently, because the Ruskies have got to have those cameras in the desert, because I'm sure what's going to happen is the JLA. Exactly. You know.
But that's the end of issue 119. That is the story, the arc of the coming of the Falcon.
Right. And, you know, as I was reading through this, you know, a couple things obviously stood out. I know that we talked a lot about them. But the primary thing that kind of struck out to me, especially as a fan of MCU today and living in the world that we live in today, the agency of Sharon Carter at the beginning, the fact that she's trusted with the mission on her own, and everybody today believes that it used to be the case that women were simply disrespected across the board.
Well, even if you remember the Agent Carter TV show, I don't know if you watched that on ABC.
I saw a couple episodes.
They, when she even got into the office, they were treating her like a secretary.
Right.
When it's like, no, I was working with Captain America. Like, we took down Hydra.
Right.
Like, come on.
Right. But this right here shows kind of a little bit of that, the fact that, you know, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
You know, don't yes, America's got, and the world has got some dark spots in its past, you know what I mean? But don't cast everything in that light, no. You know? Women were not disrespected across the board, nor are they respected across the board today. Now, our hope is for everyone to have their natural dignity respected, but it was endearing for me and heartening for me to see it happen.
Which is
even
good.
Then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Overall, like we said earlier, it took me forever to get into this, and it was not a bad story arc. It's not one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Like, it hit its moments. It hit what it was trying to do. It got its point across. Introduced a character that went on to be one of the best characters in Marvel Comics to date. Like, Falcon, Sam Wilson has been an amazing character. That's great. But all in all, the story itself, like, I just had such problems getting into it.
It makes me ask, like, what made you want to broach the topic of the Falcon?
Well, I had just trying to look up stories. I clicked online, like, top 10 story arcs of this character. That was one of them. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Because it's his origin story?
Yeah, I guess. And so I'm like, okay, we'll just click on this. And I'm like, okay, I'll read it. It seems interesting. But just getting into it. It took me forever.
It really was a slog, and I think that's just because of the modern day books that you and I read, where
but when I read the
storytelling, the way that things are storyboarded and plotted out is different.
Yeah, but when I read the Avengers ones, I didn't have too. Those were more campy. Like, there were some issues I had with them, but I felt that more indicative of the time.
I hate the camp. Honestly,
I'm not gonna have you read Avengers then.
Yeah,
just yet.
Yeah, no, I honestly hate the camp. I'm full of eye rolling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a lot of eye rolling in these Avengers books at the moment.
Yeah. You know, but it is. I think it's important too to take a look at where a character comes from in order to see, you know, to see why it's so noteworthy, path that somebody is journeying down, you know, because now we've got Anthony Mackie, of course, portraying
the
Falcon.
He does an amazing job
at it, and I appreciate the simple, you know, he was, you know, an armed services member, you know, who got caught up with helping Cap, you know what I mean, and had natural talent, obviously this was, you know, shown in the comics as well, obviously, for him to take a few hours of training from the Cap, and next thing you know, he's a natural at karate or whatever the martial arts style.
He actually does say natural at karate, I believe.
Yeah. But to see how far he's come today to even portraying Captain America as he has done in the past in the comics, you know, when Cap had had to go into hiding, or the death of Captain America after the initial Civil War.
Yeah.
You had the Punisher, who took up the mantle of Captain America.
Well, for a minute. Bucky took over after.
Then you had Bucky doing it again, who came back from the dead, of course, played as by Sebastian Stan in Winter Soldier in Civil War. And, he's done a good job as Bucky. And then the Falcon, too, you know.
What did you think of the issues?
The things that I appreciated were some of the quaintness of it. Mm-hmm. Pointing out the difference almost in values too, between today and of yesteryear, based on my reactions to them. And then having to question, wait a minute, why am I having this kind of a reaction to it? What is it about today's mentality towards women or towards slavery or towards storytelling and logic, and why the hell is this guy monologuing like he is today? You know what I mean? Kind of pointing out today.
I definitely do appreciate that they don't monologue. The villains don't monologue as much.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
Red Skull was just everything. It seems like was over exaggerated.
Everybody has upped their game, but you know, parents back in the day who were far more inclined to vetting and filtering the things that were getting into their children's hands would have had a field day. You know, if the Red Skull was even more menacing than he was.
Yeah.
It's been this, like, slowly, you're getting to a point now where you've got stuff like The Walking Dead in comic book form, you know, or another Robert Kirkman Goodman, goody Outcast, or stuff like Preacher, which is now a major television show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's on the network. I mean, yes, it's on the network that anybody can get. if you have cable.
Right. And who doesn't have cable at this point?
Well, there's actually a lot of people going away from cable, going to, you know, Netflix and Hulu.
Just it's going to point, it's gonna get it to a point where those are launching their own streaming services, well, though, you I know. Mean,
Disney's going to be launching one here soon. And
yeah, can't wait.
Naturally, I'm getting that.
Honestly,
so.
I've been watching Star Wars Rebels, and it's been great.
Dude, I love that show. That's so not, great. That's not this podcast.
Yeah, that's so. Totally not. But I appreciate these comics because it shows me history. It shows me where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
It shows me some of the things that Cap does that I want to do, like his decisiveness, which was good. His brusqueness, which in certain cases was good, you know, his, like even if at the risk of offending somebody's sensibilities, it was also necessary.
Yes,
you know, he's less afraid to offend somebody than he is of them actually getting hurt, because the alternative, either I let them get offended and save their life
and survive,
or I worry more about their feelings and they're going to take a stiletto to the face.
Yep,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
which. Joe, if you're driving your car towards, you know, if you're wearing the car together and you're driving towards the ledge, I'm far more likely to actually yank the wheel away from the ledge than just talk to you about how maybe it's a bad idea that you're driving at a cliff edge.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm, you know,
hopefully we're not
if
doing
we're
that.
If we're talking, I'm actually looking at the road and not at you, so right. I'm not going over the edge.
Right, that's the hope.
But
yeah, I mean, overall, I'm glad, I'm grateful to have read it, and I'm, you know, certainly appreciate the opportunity to show up on the podcast.
Not a problem. Well, there's plenty more coming where that's at.
And I am certainly excited.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can do so on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with brand new story arcs.